Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, family, on this Sabbath morning. Shalom. I pray all is well with you. We don't normally blog on Saturday. This is normally my rest day, but I am blogging today because I will be traveling in the morning at 7 a.m. and not able to go forth. So keep me in prayer as I travel those highways and byways. But good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. As always, thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God on this marvelous, sunshiny Sabbath. And as we go forth, I have a prayer for my 365 days of prayer, and it says paved road, and it says without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. Proverbs 15:22 NASB. Whew, Holy One, in you is an abundance of wisdom. I will not be fooled into thinking that I can or should figure everything out on my own. Why put that kind of pressure on myself? Lord, as I look for wise input in my decisions, I ask that there would be a thread of commonality that speaks truth to my situation. I'm not looking for easy answers or paths. I'm looking for the best options. I know that as I go to trust the counselors, friends, and mentors, I will find the refinement that my plans need. Thank you for your consistent grace. When I am not sure who to turn to for help, would you place wise people in my path? I know that valuable advice comes from all kinds of sources. I will keep an open mind as I consult with others, trusting that you will not let me be led astray. And the question is, what plans have you been devising on your own that could benefit from outside perspective? Hallelujah. We all need someone to talk to. And I will have another prayer as we end this morning. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Heavenly Father God, we come to you on this day that you have made for rest, this day that you have made to rejoice and to be glad that you are our Father God. Father God, I lift up this mighty word this morning, praying that someone will be saved, set free, and filled with your Holy Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you, Lord Jesus, are my redeemer. As the song said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am redeemed by your blood, Christ Jesus. For you are one, and Father God, you are one. There's only one God and one Lord Jesus Christ. And I am grateful that you are in my life. Lord God, continue to take over. Continue to help me move forward. Lord, let me not give up on what you have called me to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Hallelujah. This morning, family, we're going to be in the 101 Psalm, starting at verse 5. We'll be in Proverbs chapter 23, starting at verse 31. And we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So please join me in the 101st Psalm. And we will be starting at verse number 5. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Ooh, bam. Them sneak attack folks talking about you behind your back. What did it say? Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who walks the deep shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. God is not playing. He always makes it plain. 102nd Psalm, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. And we just read about the afflicted, which was Job, who poured out his heart to God. Job wanted to be saved, set free, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And God had to come and have a conversation with him, too. And he was a good man. And God allowed the enemy to come and attack everything but his life, his wealth, his health, his family, took all his 10 children. And then God gave him double for his trouble and the most beautiful young women in the land. And then 140 years of life. Come on. In a happy, his ladder was greater than his past. So a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a heart. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I lie awake. I am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mangled my drink with weeping because of your indignation and your wrath. For you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That sounds like a lament of Job. Because he was going through We all have our moments where we go through, and the only one that can get us through those times of trouble is God. There's only one God and one Lord Jesus Christ, and that's who we call on through the Holy Spirit within each of us. Light your Holy Spirit up so you can send that light to God to say, Lord, I need you. I need you every moment of every hour. We need God, and we need him right now. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dead. So the nation shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. Pray to God. We don't pray to man. We don't worship man. We worship the one and only true God who resides in the heavens, who loves us without condition. Do you give your situation and your problem to God? Do you take them to the throne, or are you taking them to the phone? Because I tell you, the phone is not going to help you. You need to take it to God. Proverbs chapter 23, starting at verse 31. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? Whew. There is nothing as heartbreaking as someone who is addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, addicted to any other addiction. We got to be careful and prayed up, because lead me not to temptation. We want to live right and be right. Proverbs 24:1-4, do not be envious of evil men. Come on now. Not desire to be with them, but their heart devises violence and their lips talk of troublemaking. Think that through. If all somebody can do is talk about me, I, it's not about you. It's all about me, but I'm going to make my problems your problem. That's not godly. That's a mouth that is nothing but trouble. And as Dr. Stanley tells us, in this life lesson, and for those that are just joining moving forward, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And this is a Bible study, but commentary, life lessons, life questions, what the Bible says, come from Dr. Stanley. And you'll hear me say, and Dr. Stanley said, that is because I am quoting something from the Bible. And it says from Dr. Stanley, from Proverbs 24:2, the heart devises violence and their lips talk of troublemaking. And let's call it straight. We see that every day when we turn on the news, when those news feeds pop up on your phone. We see this, and it's political, and it's, you know, just people talking. You know, folks don't want to love each other anymore. It's all about hate, and it's all about what can you do for me? It may seem like the wicked have better lives than we do. Come on now. Envy them. In the end, they have nothing. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73:26. We got to have that in our heart. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But there is one God, and he does not share his position. One God, one Savior. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus Christ. Proverbs 24. Continue with verse 3. Whew, what a word. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Are you giving everything to God? Your heart, your soul, your mind, does it belong to God? You know, I don't know who sings this song, but, you know, it says my heart, my soul, my mind, it all belongs to you. You know, and we got to have that it belongs to you in our spirit. When we think about the Most High God, everything we do belongs to him. It all belongs to him. I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you. You know, God is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the author and finisher of our life. He knows our life story. He knows everything about us, our good. He knows our bad. He knows our indifference. He knows us. And we got to say, Lord, I give myself away. Please use me. Let God use you today. Let God continue guiding you in the way that you should go. And as we continue in our word this morning, we are coming in our New Testament word. And it's a word from Pastor Paul, is what I like to call him. Apostle Paul is speaking this morning. And he's got a word for us. And he'll let you know. You know, I hear so many times, you know, pastors quoting 1 Corinthians. You know, and then, but they forget that one little word. I, Paul, this is what I believe. God didn't give me this. This is what I think. You know, and it's like, and the gospel says this, that, and the other, especially when it comes to wives and husbands and obeying this one and doing that. You know, and Paul was, and as far as, you know, pastors and ministers and priests and folks not getting married, again, it's a Paul thing. You know, women not ministering, not being able to preach the gospel. It's a Paul thing. You know, and I know there are those that will get angry and say, she don't know what you're talking about. Well, let's read the word together. Let's see what the word says. And let's remember that our Paul is not God. He's giving his opinion. We all have one. And so let's look at what he says in his word. Go forth. This is what it says. Now concerning the things, and I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife. Come on now, that's common sense. And that is of God. Because what does the word of God say? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Top 10. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Top 10. So it tells us, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise for the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. You know, and folks like, well, you know, these certain abusive men want to let a woman know, your body's mine. You mine. Your body, everything is mine. Let's stop with being right there. Because being that woman can turn around and say, and likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Another pen. I know this is going to upset some folks, but women, quit using your body to try to control your husband. Excuse me, and don't use your body to try to control your man. Our bodies are meant for marriage, not for fooling around with every time we get married. It's not who God wants us to be messing around. He don't want you with the riches of the world. He don't want you, as they say, Richard Nixon was tricky dick. He don't want you with the tricky dicks of the world. And I know somebody said, oh, she's got to. No, I'm not. We got to understand God wants a wife to be a wife to her husband. Sexual relations are for marriage. And I'm saying it. Between a man and a woman. And I know I am controversial. I might be making some folks mad, but the word of God is the word of God. And it says, but I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. This is Paul. But I wish that all men were even as myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. Paul was celibate. I'm celibate. I have no problem with it because I know that it's for a purpose and a reason. I belong to God, and I am grateful. 13 years of celibacy, and I know it's like folks say, oh, my. But you know what? When you give your life to God, it's all right. It says, but I say to the unmarried and to the widow, that's to me, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. And King James says, just burn. But I tell you this, we cannot burn with passion. Because then you need a husband. If you are single and you are burning with passion, you need a husband. You need a wife. It is better to marry than to burn. I'm not trying to go to hell. It's been 100 and whatever degrees, and the heat index has made it 114, 15 degrees in Illinois. We're not in Texas. We're not in Arizona. And I can tell you now, hell and I will not agree. I'm allergic to sulfur. Come on now. Let's call it. Hell, it does not have my name on it. We got to work and say, Lord, I'm not going there. I don't do heat well, as my pastor said. You know, she left Mississippi, but right now Mississippi heat is in Illinois. But I tell you this, we got to look up and lift up. God has given us a basic instruction before leaving earth. He says, now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. See, now there, he says, this is not me saying this. This is what God says. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried to be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But understand, Moses put in another edit. This is Paul said. God said, God didn't want divorce, but he gave it because folks were messing around. And most divorce is because of sexual immorality. And that is what God even said, that if adultery is involved, you can get a divorce. but he does not want divorces. We have had more children messed up because of divorce. Divorce is not of God. But I understand no woman, no man should stay in a marriage where they are being abused. And folks will try to use the word of God to abuse each other. Husbands abusing wives in the church because they use the word of God against their wife. Your body belongs to me. You're mine. You're this. You're that. You're less than. You're stupid. No. God does not want any woman going through that kind of foolishness. That is not of God. And that is not what Paul was talking about. Because Paul says, but to the rest, I, not the Lord. Come on now. He specified. If any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. But the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. But how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordained in all the churches, was anyone called while circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. We got to keep God's commandments to love one another, to love God. As Jesus said, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It takes the top 10 and puts them into two. Because when you go to the top 10, and I call it the top 10, these are the top 10 commandments given to Moses on the mountain by God, written by the hand of God. Moses didn't write the 10 commandments. God did. And he told us what to do. We got to honor God. We can't be adulterers. We can't be out there doing everything but loving him. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 7:5, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again. The problem and what causes so many adulterous relationships is because somebody is not doing their part in the marriage. Don't expect your husband to be faithful when you hold him off. Oh, I'm not having sex with him until he does this, that, or the other. He got too fat. I don't want to be dealing with that. Come on, y'all. God is watching. Sexual expression is a key and vital part of every Christian marriage. Believing couples should abstain from it only by mutual consent, for a limited time, and for a specific prayer need. That's it. It's all written down. Don't be depriving your husband's wife. And husbands, don't deprive your wife. Because you are opening the door for the enemy to come right on in and take a seat in your relationship. 1 Corinthians 7:11, if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Paul follows the lead of the Old Testament and of Jesus on the topic of divorce. His teachings on grace does not mean that spouses can divorce at will. It means that God can give them the strength to persevere. That's hard. That is hard. But I still, in my heart, this is, I, Pastor Bridget, saying, I don't believe that God wants people to stay married in abusive relationships. I don't believe that God wants anybody being beat Sunday through Monday. Then all up from Monday to Saturday. And every day is something new as a reason for that wife to be abused. I don't believe that. I don't believe that God would subject the women that he have created. Because we are all created. And I just don't believe God would want anyone being abused. I don't believe that's of God. 1 Corinthians 7:19. Keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Rituals help us only insofar as they move us toward God. In and of themselves, they have no intrinsic value. God values devoted obedience far more than adherence to religious rituals. 1 Samuel 15:22, if you want to go and back it up. Dr. Stanley is so wise, and he speaks the truth. And as we continue in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, and it says, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Where you called, do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. But he who is called in the Lord, while a slave, is the Lord's freedom likewise. He was called while free, is Christ's slave. You were brought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Come on now. Brother, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. Marriage is important. You have folks that have taken the word of God and made it into something it's not. Paul's not saying that you should be unmarried. He's not saying that. And he says, but this I say, brother, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it, but the form of the world is passing away. He says it, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Understand, he's not dictating that you stay a virgin and never marry, or that you stay a virgin male and never marry, that you give your whole everything to God as far as if you are a priest, you can never marry. That's not what he's saying. Paul is trying to keep the people from sexual immorality. And I will say this, when you are unmarried and you have devoted your life to God, your 100% is to God. And you will find yourself accomplishing a lot for God. But I will tell you, when you are married and you work together for the kingdom of God, God is getting double devotion to him. Because people that love each other and love God work hard for God. And I'm grateful to have had a husband that loved God and made sure I was prepared every Sunday when I walked out of the house to do what God had called me to do in children's ministry. He was my biggest advocate, and I'm grateful for that. And it tells me, but if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. Catch that. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. But again, so many things that we attribute to God are Paul's opinions and what Paul feels. Not what Paul is saying God told me to tell you in 1 Corinthians 7:20. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. I'd serve God if only I had a better job, a better home, a better spouse, a better position. Ever hear anything like this? Paul says that we can serve God wherever we are when he first calls us. Come on now. I was called at 17, but I didn't accept the full calling until I was a widow in my 50s. Come on now. We got to understand that wherever you are, whatever place you are, whether you are a teen, even though I was young, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a teen begging bread, even when you're young. Even though I was not a fisher until I was in my 50s, I've always carried Jesus with me wherever I went. I never lost my faith. You know, I never lost my faith. I trust God today, and I've watched and seen him work in my life. Whew, when God sends what you need, all you can say is, wow, wow. God will take care of everything. Whatever you need, trust God. Excuse me. Whatever you desire, trust God. He will make a way out of no way. And our last word for this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 8, starting at verse 1 through verse 13. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. But even if there are so-called gods, them little Jews, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things. and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, to whom are all things, and to whom we live. That's our title this morning. There is one God and one Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, however, there is not in everyone that knowledge, for some with consistency of the idol, until now eat a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. And that is the truth. You know, I don't eat pork, and I don't eat meat. But that's my choice. I'm not going to vilify anybody who eats pork or who eats meat. That's their choice. I choose it for health reasons. When I ate pork, I had seriously high blood pressure. When I gave up beef, my blood pressure even went down more. I was quite ecstatic when I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was 128 over 70. Come on now. Can we say thank you, Lord? And we got to understand everybody has their own situation. I'm not going to say you need to give up this. You need to become a vegetarian and you only need to eat this. That's not my place. You eat what you want. I will eat what I want. Peter had to learn that lesson as God sent down that white sheet from heaven with all the unclean animals and told him to eat. And he said, I never defiled myself. And God let us know it's not what we eat. It's who we are inside. And this is what it says. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge of eating in an idol temple, will not conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. So if I don't, I know that Pastor Bridget doesn't eat pork because it's bad for her body, then I'm not going to come at her with a plate full of ribs and say, ooh, girl, are her favorite thing that she loved before she quit eating pork, a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. Girl, here's a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. You know, the bacon, the lettuce, and the tomato, they'll take up for the bacon. Girl, please. Man, please. That was my deal. I love bacon. I could eat bacon morning, noon, and night. A bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, that was my go-to lunch. And, you know, my go-to breakfast when I was growing up, and to this day, it gives me joy, was fried pork chops with fried potatoes and onions and those great old Pillsbury buttermilk biscuits. And then you just open them up, put the butter on them, and then put the honey on them. And you had breakfast. And come on now, if you wanted, you could also have that biscuits and gravy from that grease from them fried pork chops. Come on now. My mouth is watering. But I know that I can't have that anymore. But somebody bringing that to me because it triggers a happy memory, that would be like handing me kryptonite if I was Superman. You know, there's just some things we cannot do because it's not there for us. That's just like you going out and you know that your brother has a drinking problem, but yet you're going to go to a club or to a bar with them and say, oh, girl, oh, man, you can have that drink. It's all good. They're only having one glass of wine. Not understanding that wine, that one glass of wine, is a trigger for them to drink more and more and more, and then you knock them off face quick. Girl, you can have that pork chop sandwich. Oh, and girl, these Israel potato pies are so good. It's all right. It's not going to mess you up. It's warm pork chop. That's a trigger. No, I don't want to have bacon and egg and cheese sandwich. I can't do that because it's a trigger for me. You know, everybody has a situation. And we as men of God, we don't trigger them and excuse me. I was having some drinks. Change of weather in a room that I'm in. Air conditioner was on. And it tells us this in 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. God wants us to keep learning about him and his ways, not merely to add to our storehouse of knowledge, but to better serve him and his people. Knowledge plus love equals a powerful thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. 1 Corinthians 8:6, there is one God, the Father, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things. That's our title from this morning. Paul often speaks of the Father and the Son in equal but complementary ways. We serve one God through one Lord by one Spirit. Come on now. Dr. Stanley, you better preach. In 1 Corinthians 8:11, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? Paul teaches us that love never insists on its own private convictions if the exercise of those convictions damage a fellow believer. Love always desires the best for those in love, even if that means self-denial. I'm going to tell you, I love dancing. I do. But now I dance for Jesus. But I used to love to get out there. I could wobble with the best of it. But I realized that it can cause others to stumble. Because I was never in the club. That was not who I was. I was the one in church. But I didn't say I didn't go out. And I didn't get on the dance floor. And I didn't learn dance with the best of them. But I tell you, my dances caused a fellow believer to fall. Who maybe that's a trigger for them. And the next thing they know, they dropping it like it's hot. Then I made a brother, a fellow believer, stumble. Because I brought the wrong music to the dance. Come on now. The best birthday party I ever had was my 60th birthday. And I had a surprise birthday party thrown by my son and my daughter. And all I can remember is when the music changed, because the DJ was putting on the world music and somebody had it going with me. She don't listen to that. And then the next day, when he changed the music, the atmosphere of the party changed. And it became a moment with God where folks was crying and folks was getting happy. And folks was praising God. That was the best party I ever had and really the only birthday party I could ever remember. And all I can do today is thank my daughter and my son and my godson for the privilege being their mom, or their mom, and them loving me and giving me that surprise. And my oldest granddaughter coming all the way from Baltimore. When I saw her, that's when the tears came. Because she loved me enough to come from Baltimore for a party that they were throwing. So I tell you, God knows everything, and he knows what we need and why we need it. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, I have some words for life, words of life. I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Matthew 12:36-37. King of kings, your judgments are wise and your perspective perfect. I align myself with you and your kingdom again today. I invite you to remove everything that stands against your character, your holy love that is full of grace, truth, peace, and mercy. Where I have become complacent in the words that leave my mouth like a torrent, I ask for a check-in with holy fear to consider the possible impact of my carelessness. I repent for the ways my words misrepresent you to those around me. God, I struggle with the line of wanting to be real and seeking to honor you. Help me to have a guard over my mouth so I think about what I say before it leaves my tongue. I don't want to wound people with thoughtless words that do nothing for your kingdom. I know you really. I know you readily give to all who ask, and I'm asking for your help. And the word for today is, do you consider the impact of your words before you speak them? And sometimes, with my hand up, I honestly don't. And I ask God to forgive me if my words have caused a brother or a sister to stumble, if my words have caused someone to fall or to fail. I ask forgiveness. So let us all try our best to walk in righteousness, to walk in love, to walk with God. Tell God thank you this morning. Tell God I love you this morning. Let God know that you are his and he is yours. I have not gotten a word from Sister Carolyn this morning, but a word that I leave you is this. Have a spiritual, sanctified Sabbath, knowing that you are God and he is yours. Love the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Have a blessed day, family. Keep trusting God and know that you are loved. Have a loving God, loving each other. Spiritual Saturday. Keep the Sabbath holy and watch God work in your life. Thank you so much for coming in on this special day with me. Thank you for spending some time with, as Jennifer Hudson said, with little old me. Thank you so much, family, and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful Sabbath. And I say for tomorrow, keep me in your prayers as I travel the highway, for my day is tomorrow, that I acknowledge God. I acknowledge him every day. But the Sabbath that I follow is on Sunday. But we all know that this is the seventh day and that we should still keep it holy. So keep God in your heart, in your mind, and in your spirit. But there is only one God and one Lord Jesus. Have a blessed day. Thank you again for listening in. I can't say it enough, but be blessed, family. And join me again on Monday morning, God willing, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward in the Word of God. And I say to you on this beautiful Saturday morning, it's a wrap. Have a blessed day. Thank you so much for listening in.